Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I teach people how to make a bigger impact with their message using their voice. And I'd love to help you too. Why don't we start with your voice barriers? The barriers that are getting in the way of you catapulting your success. Go on over to the website, captivatetheroom.com, and you'll find out exactly what you need to do to send me a recording so that I can get back to you with what your voice barriers are, what's getting in your way of your ultimate success. Now, I'm so glad you're here with me today because I have the most incredible guest on the show today, and I have no doubt that you are going to love and learn so much from hearing everything he has to say. With me on the show today is Grant Baldwin, who's the creator of thespeakerlab.com and the Booked and Paid to Speak training program. He's also a nationally known keynote speaker and author and host of the Speaker Lab podcast. As a speaker, Grant has given hundreds of presentations and has spoken to over 400,000 people in 45 different states through leadership conferences, conventions, and other events. His book and curriculum for students, Reality Check, is taught in 400 schools around the country. As much as he enjoys speaking and entrepreneurship, Grant loves his family more. He's married to his high school sweetheart, and they have three girls. They live in Nashville, Tennessee. Grant, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Tracy, it is an honor and delight to hang out with you. How are you today?
I'm good. I have been so excited to have you on the show. The biggest problem was culling down all the questions I want to ask you.
That's all right. I know you got a bunch and I'm ready to roll. So we'll chat about whatever you want to cover.
Well, so, hey, first of all, I want to know, when did you know you wanted to be a speaker?
Yeah. So I actually, the nutshell on my kind of background was, I was really involved in my local church in high school, and my youth pastor had a really big impact in my life, and he was a really great speaker. And so, early on, I was intrigued by that. That was something that I was just like, I think I could do that. I think I could be on stage. That doesn't seem hard. And so I was definitely intrigued by it. And so after graduating high school, I went to Bible college, was a youth pastor at a local church for a little while. And so in that setting, naturally I got to do a lot of speaking to students, speaking occasionally on the weekends in big church. And so just had some practice, had some opportunities to speak, to feel like, you know, I'm not the best in the world. I'm not the worst of the world, but I feel like there's something there. I feel like I might be able to do this. And so I guess probably even in high school is when I first started kind of getting intrigued by the idea. But for a long time, I didn't necessarily realize that this was an option. Like, I don't think most people, when they're thinking about careers, like, I didn't see this on the menu anywhere to be a speaker. I didn't know that was a thing. I just thought, you know, the speakers that we've all seen over the years, like, that was just a random one-off thing that they did. But it's a career. It's a profession. There's plenty of people that do it in the world and do it very, very well. So I think that's probably where I first started getting intrigued. And then when I was in college, in fact, I actually worked for a guy who's a full-time speaker. And he was doing a lot, primarily in the church world, with students. He was doing a lot. He was doing some, you know, weekend service stuff. And I was kind of helping on the business side, on the back end, on helping with travel and logistics and contracts and all that stuff. So I at least got to, again, see a little bit on how the business ran, but also to see that this was a thing, that this is an opportunity. So yeah, I think a few of those moments early on helped me to realize that this is not only a thing, but something that I could potentially do.
Yeah. And that's what you do now. You still speak. And then you also, I mean, we're going to talk about how you help people who are going to speak, but you still speak all over the place.
Yeah, I definitely cut back on uh-huh. how much speaking I'm doing. Speaking is really, really fun. I absolutely enjoy it. There's nothing that compares to being on stage in front of an audience for, you know, a period of time. And knowing that you can see their faces, you can tell if you're making a difference, or making an impact, or connecting with them, and they're nodding, they're laughing, they're agreeing, they're writing stuff down. All that stuff is extremely, extremely fulfilling. The challenge with speaking is it doesn't scale very well, meaning you are one person in one place you know, speaking to one audience. So like right now you and I are having a conversation, but there's potentially thousands of people all over the world who could be listening to this, and they don't, we don't have to all get together in one place at one time to have this conversation, right? Whenever I do a webinar online, there may be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people from all over the world who join, who are a part of that, who are learning, who are engaged, but don't necessarily have to physically travel somewhere. So there's that side of it from the audience, but there's also the side from me as a speaker is, you know, you mentioned in the intro there, married to my high school sweetheart. We got three girls. So it's me and a house full of women. I love it. We actually, just a week ago, we got a dog who's a male. So I got another male in the house.
Yay.
So I got that going for me now. But, so as much as I enjoy speaking, the nature of speaking is that I have to get on a plane. I have to leave my family. And so that's tough. That's difficult, you know? And so, yes, I still speak. I just don't do it. I want it to be part of my business, not the sole part, not the sole piece of the business now.
How in the world did you speak to that many people? That's incredible.
You just do it a lot. It adds up.
You must have been on the road all the time.
Yeah. So I was speaking full time for, I think, 8 or 9 years and doing anywhere from 50 to 70 events a year. And it could be audiences of, you know, 50 to 100. And we had some that were, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 13,000. Yeah. So some big audiences. All types of conferences, events, venues. And I think that's really one for anybody. I think that's one thing that makes you a better speaker, and not just a speaker, but anything. It's just the more you do it, the more comfortable you become, the more confident you become. So how do you become a better writer? You write. How do you become a better speaker? You speak. And so the more you do those things, the more comfortable you'll feel, the more the better you'll become at that thing.
Yeah. What did you speak about? Did you have a bunch of different things, or was there one main core thing that you talked about out there?
Yeah. When I was doing a lot of speaking, I started primarily in the education industry. So I was speaking a lot I was a youth pastor for a little while and then got into speaking. So as a kind of a natural segue, then I was speaking a lot to high school students, a lot of high school conferences, a lot of school assemblies, speaking some to colleges, to parents, to teachers. So a lot of what I was doing was kind of motivational. So I would talk about personal responsibility, taking ownership of your life. We talked about making a difference in the world. We talked a little bit on transitioning from high school into college and thinking through, you know, what you want to do in terms of career, picking a college, paying for college, you know, just some of those like real world, real life, you know, I graduated now, what do I do type of things. So we spoke a little bit on that, but a lot of it was around the subject of motivation. Then I transitioned. I was speaking a little bit more in corporate, and I was speaking to a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of those type of leadership type conferences. And a lot of what I've done is around, I do a lot on work-life balance. So helping people. And one of the things that I always say is that who you are is more important than what you do. Who you are is more important than what you do. Meaning, you know, if I'm a great speaker, if we're great, you know, entrepreneurs, if we're great podcasters, writers, bloggers, fill in the blank, but we drop the ball as, you know, husbands, wives, moms, dads, if we're the shell of a human being, like that's just not worth it. So to speak a little bit on that, but a lot of what we do is we speak on speaking, which is a very meta thing to do, I guess. But yeah, so we teach a lot about the business of speaking and how you build your business as a speaker.
That I love that. I love all of it. And I'm especially intrigued with this high school program. I'm guessing, I want to hear about it. And maybe that's what you were speaking about, but tell me about this reality check school program. I think this is so cool. I want to hear all about it.
Yeah. So when I had been speaking for about a year or two, again, I was doing primarily stuff with high school students. And so I started asking students, what are some of your biggest challenges? What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? What are you trying to think through as you near graduation? And so we had a bunch of questions. And in fact, we interviewed students from across the country. We compiled hundreds and hundreds of questions. And we boiled it down to basically the top 50. And so there were questions about, should I go to college? How am I going to pay for college? What do I major in? What classes do I take? So we talked about relationships. We talked about careers, internships, taxes, banking. What do I want to be when I grow up? How to make an impact in the world? Like anything like just students are thinking of. So we had those top 50 questions and we put that into a book. And so each chapter answered one of those questions. So each chapter was between 2 and 3 pages or so. It was, I think, about 200-page book. And so we published that about a year or two into speaking, and we would sell that primarily at our events. And so over the course of several years, we actually sold over 30,000 copies of it, primarily, again, from speaking. So it was a self-published book, and it did pretty well. But after I'd been speaking for a couple years, and we had the book out, I had several teachers who were asking me, do you have any type of curriculum that goes along with this, any lesson plans? And I couldn't even spell curriculum. I had no idea like where to begin. Like I'd never been a teacher. I'd never taught in the classroom. So I had no idea like I can stand on stage and speak to, you know, 1,000 students for an hour, but I have no idea what you need in a classroom to actually teach this, you know, and, you know, state requirements and all that stuff, you know? So I actually partnered with 2 teachers and worked with them to actually create the curriculum. So we had 50 chapters in the book, and we created 1 lesson plan for every chapter. So it's 50 lesson plans. It was over 400 pages of material. So it's a lot of stuff. So it's basically, I was able to say, I made the book for students, and then I worked with these teachers to create the lesson plan. So it's made by teachers for teachers. And so it was used in literally hundreds of schools around the country. And it did really well, but it was a good thing. It was a good tool to basically continue the conversation of a lot of what we talked about. So again, going back to, we would speak on taking ownership and taking personal responsibility in life. And so then teachers could talk about, well, here's how you do that in college. Here's how you do that in the classroom. Yeah. Here's how you do it with your money. And all these different elements of life that oftentimes we're not necessarily taught. We're just kind of, you graduate high school and you're tossed in the real world, and yeah, you just figure it out. So it was a good resource to teach, excuse me, some of those skills before students got to that point.
I love that. And that you're so right. It's like those skills and so many of the soft skills that everybody talks about, we just don't learn that in school. And I feel sure you probably agree, they're so important. Some kind of basic public speaking skill. I mean, you know, that's just traumatic to so many people, the idea of having to share their story or share their words.
Yeah. So now the speaking stuff kind of evolved later. So I'd been speaking for several years and had a lot of people, you know, parents, teachers, audience members, entrepreneurs who are saying, hey, how did you become a speaker? And some people were asking because they wanted to actually do it and just didn't know where to begin. And some people were like, I don't want to do that. I'm just curious. Like that's a unique career. You don't hear a lot of people do that. So how did you go about getting into that? So a couple of years ago is when we started to transition from speaking a lot to the point where building some type of online business or something that, again, just didn't depend on me getting on a plane all the time. So I didn't want to completely get out of speaking. I still, again, really enjoy speaking, but just other ways to make an impact and make an income as well.
And that's, and there the Speakers Lab was born, I guess.
Yeah. So it started where I was, I created a program called Booked and Paid to Speak. Cause again, we had a lot of people who were asking me about, you know, how do you become a speaker? So I basically emailed a bunch of them and said, hey, if we put together some type of training, would you be interested in that? So we started with like a dozen people or so and just walked through a training with them and got feedback on it, improved it. And then just basically turned it into an online course saying, you know, we can walk through a few little things on here's how you'd go about being a speaker. But if you really want, you know, some more in-depth stuff, here's, you know, like 8 hours of training and a bunch of emails and my contract and all these different pieces that go along with being a speaker. And so if you're looking for some more help, here's a resource. And so we created that and started offering that a couple of years ago, and that's done really, really well for us. And there's a lot of people who are interested in speaking, and some people who want to speak full-time. They want to do 50, 60, 70 events a year. And then there's some people who would say, I don't want to do that many. You know, I have a good business. I have something already working, but I would love to do 5 events per year, maybe 10 events per year. But I just have no idea, how do you find those events? How do you find those opportunities? And so that's a lot of what we teach now through our course, Booked and Paid to Speak, and then through the Speaker Lab website, through the blog, through the Speaker Lab podcast, as we teach primarily the business of speaking and how do you actually find and book speaking engagements.
But you really do cover a lot. I've looked at it. It's almost like a one-stop shop, I feel like, you know, for anybody that wants to hone their skills and figure out what they want to talk about. I mean, you give guidance on all of that, right?
We try. We're certainly making an effort that way. So yeah, there's a couple components of speaking. So there's the business side of how do you actually find and book speaking engagements? How do you run a speaking business? So there's that part of it, but there's also how do you become a good speaker? So we have a separate training called The Art of Speaking, where we teach that. And how do you create a talk? How do you structure a talk? How do you deliver a talk? How do you tell stories and use humor and use slides and interact with an audience? And all of those pieces we really cover there. And then there's some online components as well, meaning that there are some speakers that say, I want to do 5 or 10 or 20 events a year, but speaking is just one leg of what I want to do. So I want to have a book, mm-hmm. or I want to do a webinar, or have an online course, or do coaching or consulting, or all these other pieces that may encompass what a personal brand in today's modern world is. And so we teach a few, of those components as well. Not in depth, but we will touch on some of those pieces on how you layer in some of those things to your personal brand and to your speaking business.
There's really a lot to it. There are really so many moving parts to all of what you do. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the case with any type of personal brand, is because mm-hmm. there's no exact playbook on how this has to be done. You know, mm-hmm. I just in fact, right before recording this, I had lunch with a buddy and we were kind of joking around about how, like, there's no right or wrong way to do any type of business, you know, online or offline. Like, there's no, you don't have to do it this way and you don't have to do it that way, right? So for a lot of people, speaking is just something that's interesting and intriguing and they want to do it, but it may look different from one speaker to the next. And so we try to teach a couple different ways on how it can be used and how it can be incorporated. But at the end of the day, there's no right or wrong way to build a speaking business. There's no right or wrong way to speak. You know, we think there's these hard and fast rules that when it comes to speaking, that you can't do this and you can never turn your back to the audience and you can never, you know, do this or do, and it's like, you can turn your back to the audience. It's not that big of a deal. And you can do this and do that. It's not, you know, in the end of the day, like, there are no rules that you have to follow whenever it comes to being a speaker or building a speaking business.
I love that so much. I'll never forget when I started speaking, like in junior high and high school, you know, they would say, you have to hold those note cards. And that never worked for me, but they would make me hold those note cards. And to this day, I'm like, you got to figure out what works for you. I mean, you know, there's a framework and there's, you know, there's some structure, but if note cards don't work, don't make them hold the note cards, you know?
Yep.
Totally. So that's really cool. What is the biggest struggle that you think people come with? Not knowing where to find gigs or not knowing how to write their story, or do you see a common thread?
Yeah, there's a few things that people run into. One of the bigger ones is people just being overwhelmed of, I have no idea where to even start. I have no idea where to even begin. Meaning, you know, I spoke at some local event, or I spoke at some meeting at work, or I taught a Sunday school class, or any number of things. Like, I spoke one time and I really enjoyed it and maybe I got some good feedback and I want to do more of it. And I just don't know what to do now. I have no idea where to begin. And so one of the mistakes that a lot of speakers make is we're excited about the idea of speaking and we want to speak. And so we kind of feel like, I will speak to anybody about anything. And that just does not work. One of the worst possible answers you can give to what is it that you speak about is, what do you want me to speak about? Like, that just doesn't work, you know? So a good analogy is think of it like going to a restaurant. You know, if we go to a restaurant, we sit down for lunch, and the waiter walks up and asks us what we'd like to eat, we would ask for a menu. But if they say, well, you know, we don't have menus here, we can cook anything you want, like, we would all assume, like, no, you can't. That's not realistic. And even if you could cook anything, the food's probably not that good then. So when you go to a restaurant, it's very clear, like, these are the things that we cook. This mm-hmm. is it, you know, mm-hmm. this is what you choose from. And so the same type of idea, excuse me, as a speaker, is being clear that this is what I speak about. I am the go-to person on this. This is who I speak to. I don't try to speak to anybody and everybody. So, for example, when I was doing a lot of speaking in the education space, I was doing a lot for high school students. So occasionally someone would email me and say, hey, can you come speak to our elementary school? And it's really easy for me to say, I can't do that. I don't do that. There's plenty of other people that would be great. Here's some people I can recommend to you, but that's just not my cup of tea. Why? Because I know I'd be mediocre at it, right? But I'd rather speak to the audiences on the topics that I know I can really, really do a great job for. So early on for any speakers, I think it's really important to get really, really clear of this is who I speak to and this is what I speak about. And I'm really focused on those. From there, it's a heck of a lot easier to find potential opportunities versus trying to be this jack of all trade that'll speak to anybody about anything.
Yeah. Almost like finding your target market. Well, who's totally. Target market? Well, everybody. No, everybody can't be your, well, I mean, I guess they could, but man.
It's hard to build a business that way.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So you have, I love the podcast. Let's talk about the podcast.
Cool.
When did you start this? When did you start? You've had a couple, but when did you start this one?
Yeah, so we started this in January 2015. And a lot of it centered around, I had been doing a previous podcast. I enjoy podcasting. Podcasting's a lot of fun. I can write. It's not my favorite thing in the world to do. It's a lot. I enjoy, you know, this type of environment of just hopping on and having a conversation with someone or teaching someone, you know, audibly. And as a speaker, it tends to lend itself well to that, you mm-hmm. know, kind of type of medium. So I would get, you know, I started teaching speaking and I would get a lot of questions about speaking, you know, how much do I charge and where do I find gigs and what should be in my contract and on my website and all these just questions. And so I could give a quick answer in an email or something, but I was like, what if we recorded just 20 minutes on this topic?
Yeah.
And that way now when people ask me a certain question, I can say, go listen to episode 56, go listen to episode 27. Here's the specific episode that answers that. Here's the quick answer. But if you want more, go to this episode. And just a good resource to point people to, but it also just helps build credibility in the space that, you know, becoming a go-to authority in the speaking space that here, go listen to the Speaker Lab podcast. And it's a great, great resource for speakers of at any stage and any level in their business.
And I guess, do you have people that come to you, you know, we talk about the traditional getting on the stage speaking, but you may very well have people that come to you that, okay, I want to be a speaker in the sense of I want to do a podcast.
No, absolutely. And that's one of the unique things about, again, the world that we live in is, yes, speaking in person is still very, very effective and it's a great resource. And it's primarily what people think of when they think of speaking and it's primarily what we teach. But like we were talking about earlier, you've got the limitations of having mm-hmm. people having to physically be in the same space. Whereas in this environment where we're on a podcast and people can listen to the, they don't have to be live right now. They can listen at any point, anywhere in the world. Same when I do, you know, webinars and some of those type of speaking opportunities, even something like doing a Periscope or a Facebook Live that gives you an opportunity to speak, to communicate a message to, you know, with audio or video. And so there's a lot of ways today that you can speak in an online setting and get the same message across and just do it in a different type of context in a different environment.
Yeah. So I know you do a lot of webinars. Do you do much Facebook Live or Periscope?
You know, I've been intrigued by it. I've dabbled with it a little bit, not a ton. A lot of what we do is webinars. Webinars are really, really good for list building. They're really good for teaching. They're really good for selling. The primary way that we sell Booked and Paid to Speak, our training program, is through our webinars. And so we do a live webinar just about every single week. And they're really fun. It's a good way to do a Q&A with people too, and just to engage with an audience to teach in depth on a certain subject or topic, and then also to do Q&A. So we've dabbled with a little bit of Facebook Live, but we haven't, and I'm certainly intrigued by it. I know there's a lot of opportunity there. It's always a big challenge with an entrepreneur is there are always going to be more opportunities than time. And paying attention to what makes sense for you and in your business and not getting this grass is greener on the other side. And, you know, well, over there, that person's doing Facebook Live and they're getting serious results and feeling like, well, if they're doing it and getting serious, we need to do it too. And that may not necessarily be the case. You know, maybe it works better in their business than yours. And maybe you've got other opportunities. So that's kind of where we're playing with it and dabbling with it. But at the same time, asking, does this fit? And do we have the bandwidth to commit to it?
Yeah, I agree with you. It can get overwhelming.
Totally.
You've got so many. You got this one and that one and Instagram and now Instagram stories. And now Twitter's got a video thing going. And it's like, are you kidding me? There's no way you could do all of it.
Totally. Yep.
No way. So you've got to pick that thing that works for you. But do you think that people, that entrepreneurs, your online coaches, your online this, do they need to be getting visible some way? Like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, if you didn't have a YouTube video, it wasn't a big deal. Is it a bigger deal now? If you got to be doing the webinars, you got to be doing something.
Well, a lot of it depends on what your end goal is and kind of what you're going for. So, you know, as a speaker, one there's two key marketing tools that we really talk about as a speaker. One, you have to have a website, and not a Facebook page, not a LinkedIn profile, a website, preferably with your name as the domain. So grantbaldwin.com, so that you are establishing yourself as I'm the go-to person on this subject, and this is what I speak on. So having that website, but then also having a demo video. So a short 2-4 minute video that's just kind of highlights you as a speaker. And so you have to have both those resources. Now, again, like you said, you can get into blog, podcasts, webinars, all these other things that you could have. And those are all well and good. A lot of it just comes back to what are you trying to accomplish in your business? So there are some people that absolutely webinars would make total sense for, and a podcast would make total sense for. And there's other people who, hey, this is my goal. And doing a bunch of those things may not make any sense, you know? So it's really important for any of us, anybody listening right now, to really pay attention to what your end goal is and not be so concerned of, well, that's working over there for that person. But that doesn't necessarily mean it works for you, or doesn't necessarily, maybe it would totally work for you. It doesn't necessarily mean you should do it. So be paying attention to that as well.
Yeah. So it goes back to that. So I'm wondering, and I bet you get a lot about fear of public speaking. So people still come to you. They want to be a speaker, but they still are maybe a little afraid to speak.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's like one misconception is that people think like the best speakers in the world never get nervous. And that's just not true. Like most speakers I know still get nervous. I still get nervous before I speak.
Do you?
Now, yeah, oh, absolutely. And so I think it's kind of the difference is that I'll give you an example here. So think back to when we were in school. You know, if you showed up to take a test or a quiz in class, and you hadn't studied for it and you hadn't prepared, you're going to feel nervous. You're going to feel panicked, and rightfully so. You didn't put in the work, right? Whereas if you show up and you've studied, you've prepared, you've done homework, you've done the work and you show up, you may still feel a little nervous because you don't know what to expect, but you're going to feel a heck of a lot more confident. And I think that's the difference for speakers is speakers may still feel nervous. They may still feel some of those butterflies, but when you have put in the work, you've practiced, you've prepared, it makes a huge, huge difference in your confidence level when you show up. And that's, again, another misconception about speakers is sometimes we think, well, the best speakers in the world, they just get up, they wing it, they just make it up, they shoot from the hip. That's just not true. Like the best speakers in the world spend hours and hours and hours going over their material, rehearsing, practicing. I've spent hundreds of hours pacing my office, pacing hotel rooms, pacing backstage, just talking to myself, just thinking it through so that by the time I get on stage, I feel really confident. I know exactly where I'm going and I feel a lot more prepared. And so speakers are just like, well, I'm just going to get up and just kind of talk and ramble. You probably are going to be nervous and it's probably not going to go well. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being nervous. Oftentimes it's our body's way of communicating that what we're getting ready to do matters. Like if you didn't get nervous, then you probably don't really care how it's going to go, right? You know, I mean, think about moments and just in life whenever you got nervous. I was nervous before I proposed to my wife, or nervous when I first asked her out, or whenever we had our first child. You're nervous because it's not necessarily you think something bad's going to happen. It's more just kind of like this excitement level in your body. And sometimes we confuse it for nerves, or we confuse it for something else. But really, it's just like, I'm getting ready to speak in front of some people and I'm really, really excited about it. And this is kind of the body's response to it. So nerves, butterflies, excitement, energy, whatever you want to call it. I think it's okay. But I think that the way you deal with it is really spending a lot of time practicing and preparing so that by the time you do show up to speak, you feel incredibly more confident and ready to go.
Yeah. So it's almost a good kind of nervousness.
Totally. Absolutely. So I'm nervous is when I should be nervous is when it is when I'm not. Meaning that if I show up to speak and I don't feel nervous, then it's almost like I don't care, you know, and I don't want to be at that spot. I want to feel like, now this is exciting. This is a great opportunity and I want to look forward to it. And I want to feel some of those butterflies.
Yeah. Do you think that for people who are going out, they're trying to do speaking, they're trying to get these speaking gigs is, you know, I work with a lot of actors. Is it kind of the same on the rejection level? Is that a part that people need to know? Okay, you may put yourself out there 50 times and you may get one bite.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a great analogy. And that is, I think that's very accurate, you know, because there's a lot of events and there's a lot of speakers. One of the nice things about speaking is that most conferences and events, they hire speakers multiple times, meaning that early on, I remember if I was trying to get a gig with a particular client and they didn't hire me, I would be super bummed out. But it would be an event that they would hire for next year. And so if I didn't get the part, quote unquote, then I knew they were going to look for another speaker next year. So I knew that I always had more opportunities to get the gigs. But yeah, I think that's definitely the case that there, you know, you may reach out to 50 people or 100 people and you may only hear back from a couple of them. Part of it too is the timing of speaking, meaning that if you're in charge of putting on a conference or an event that happens once a year, you may only spend 1 or 2 weeks out of the whole year looking for speakers. And so it's really important as a speaker, you're trying to time it where when you're reaching out that you catch someone at the right moment when it's hot on their mind. You know, you may reach out to someone in March and they say, you know, we appreciate you reaching out, but we're not, you know, we don't start reviewing speakers till July, you know? So you're just trying to stay top of mind with them when they get to that point where within, you know, a couple of days they are looking at speakers and it's fresh on the radar. But yeah, absolutely. I think you definitely deal with the rejection and probably similar to acting is you try not to take it personally, right?
Yeah.
They didn't hire me. They went with someone else. Well, it's not because they didn't like you or necessarily you did something right or wrong. It's just they were looking for something different or, you know, that someone else was a better fit for whatever reason. But again, they may hire you in a future year or for a future event. So, you know, that happens as well.
So that really goes back to that really being clear on what you speak about and who you want to speak it to so that you're pitching to the right people too, right?
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. So again, that you're not saying like, you know, what's your conference about? Well, I guess I could speak on that.
Right.
No, like I am the go-to person on this and I speak on this and I know here's how it's going to help your audience and how it's going to make a difference for, here's how the specific problem that my talk is going to solve for your audience and here's how it's going to make an impact. So yeah, the more clear you can be on that, it's definitely a lot easier to define speaking engagements.
Yeah. Do you think everybody has a message?
Oh, that's a good one. Maybe. I would say this, that there's a lot of people who reach out to us and say, you know, I have a cool story and I've overcome something and I've dealt with some crazy life obstacle and I've had some people tell me that I should be a speaker. Just because you have a cool story doesn't mean anyone cares. There's a lot of people with cool stories in the world. But what's really important as a speaker, and this isn't true with just speaking, this is true with just entrepreneurship in general, is you have to solve a specific problem for a specific audience. If you tell a cool story, but it doesn't solve a problem, then it doesn't matter and nobody cares.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out if you have a cool story, that's great, but how is that solving a problem? You know, the reality is that audiences, that event planners are thinking about, yeah, but what's in it for me? How is your cool story going to help my life? How is it going to make an impact in some way? And so that's the piece that you really have to think through. And having a cool story can get your foot in the door. Absolutely, it can certainly help you. But at the same time, the opposite is true in that I'm a white dude from the Midwest who's had a pretty normal average life. Like on paper, I have no crazy story or no reason why I should be a speaker. But the reality and one of the things that we teach is you don't have to have some crazy story. You don't have to have overcome some crazy obstacle. You don't have to be some bigwig author or be someone famous in order to be a speaker. But what you do have to do is you have to solve a specific problem for the audience. Otherwise, the audience just doesn't care.
I love that. That is gold. That is gold. Because I think that there has been a lot of hype about story. And I think you just nailed it. Not that story is not important, but everybody's got off track. The train ran off the track a little bit. I got to figure out how to tell my story.
Right, right.
My story is everything, but there's got to be so much more.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, a story is fine. A story can be extremely effective in telling your own personal story because at the end of the day, we, as a speaker, you're a human speaking to a collection of other humans and people relate to stories, you know? So if I share my story, there may be people who are saying, well, I've, you know, I was really involved in my youth group. And then I was a youth pastor, actually, and I was interested in speaking. And so they can connect with that.
Yeah.
But again, ultimately, it's not, when I'm speaking, it's not about me, it's about the audience. So how is that story connecting with the audience? And ultimately, how is it helping them in some way? So I think it's fine to share your story. You know, there may be some dads right now listening, like, I live in a house full of girls, right? You know, so I can identify with that. I can connect with that. But at the end of the day, what you teach as a speaker has to solve a problem. And it's not just, you know, look at this cool story of something I did or accomplished. Yeah. It's like, nobody cares about that. Like, they want to know how it helps them.
Right. I love that. Nobody cares.
Flip it around. Like, think about times when you've been in the audience and someone's been telling a cool story and you're like, that's a cool story, but like, I just want to know what's in it for me. Like, how does that help me? Like, if you're just standing on stage to tell a story so that like people applaud you and think that your story's neat, like, what's the point of that? Like, that just seems a waste of everybody's time.
Right. Right. And I don't want you to have to give all your secrets away because you've been dropping the nuggets like crazy today, but I've got one more question for you.
Yeah.
Because you gave me a thought when you were just talking about that. It's when you said it's about the audience. And I wonder, is there a difference in what the audience, and being about the audience, absolutely, for sure, I totally get that. But is it about what they want or what they need?
I think it can be a bit about both, you know. So for example, going back to when I was doing a lot of speaking for students, mm-hmm. when a student wasn't thinking about, I really want a speaker to help me learn how to prepare for college or figure out what I want to do with my life. Now, there are certainly students who wanted that, you know, but most students are like, you know what, dude, you got me out of class and that's about how much right. I care about, you know. So what they wanted is they wanted to maybe be entertained. They wanted to just kill some time, you know. So I use, as a speaker, I use a lot of humor. I use a lot of stories. But I also tie it back into, here's how this matters to you. And a lot of it is, when you are speaking to an audience, you have to build that rapport. You have to build that connection. Like they, a teenager may be happy that you got them out of class, but they don't really necessarily care what you have to say. So I have to earn any audience, you know, of any adults, students, whatever. I have to earn their trust. I have to build rapport. I have to build that connection so that when I'm giving them the medicine, so to speak, I've given them some sugar first to make the medicine go down. So I've got them on my side. So when I'm giving them something, they're like, you know what? I feel like I can trust this guy. I feel like there's something mm-hmm. I'm going to pay attention to what he's saying. Because it's something I need to hear, but it's also something that I should be hearing. And, he's built that rapport and connection with us that he can share that.
Yeah, that's good. You are good.
No, stop it. We're all just making it up as we go. We're all clueless.
I don't even know why we're here. What are we even talking about? Who are you again? Well, this has been great. So I'm going to put all your information in the show notes. But these people of mine that have been talking to me about speaking, you know, I just talk about voice. They want to speak. They want to learn. Where do they go? Where do they start? The Booked and Paid to Speak?
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of resources I'll send you to. We've got thespeakerlab.com that we've talked about, thespeakerlab.com, mm-hmm. The podcast, the blog there. You can check those resources out. And then also, if people want to learn more about just kind of the overall system that we teach, I'd recommend you go to freespeakerworkshop.com, freespeakerworkshop.com. Like I said, we do those live trainings every single week that just teaches you all about exactly how to find and book paid speaking engagement. So we've touched on it a little bit today, but we go into more in depth there on the just kind of the system and structure. We do, again, live Q&A there. So yeah, definitely go to freespeakerworkshop.com and check it out.
And do it, people, because I have heard his webinars and you think he dropped some nuggets today. These webinars he does are just like packed with fantastic information. Really, really. No, that's really good stuff. My people know I wouldn't just toss that out if I didn't believe they know me. But good stuff. You know, this is a good list. There's a billion lists to be on. I think that yours is a very good list to be on.
Cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you send out good stuff. So, well, awesome. Well, is there anything left at you want to leave us with? A last minute thought or tip or suggestion?
Yeah. Yeah, one thing I would say, especially as it relates to the speaking stuff, is have a long-term perspective with speaking. You know, it's not like, okay, I listen to a podcast and now I want to be a speaker and now I just go out and do it. And it just takes a while, you know, like anything. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those things that I just threw up a website, and now I just sit back and wait for the phone to ring. Like it just takes a while to get mm-hmm. going and to build traction. And so have a long-term perspective on it. And I meet a lot of speakers who come in and they're hungry and their guns ablazing and they're ready to go. They just fade out and fizzle out because they think it's just this overnight success thing. And it's not. Like the people that are successful as speakers work really, really, really hard to get to that point. And so both off stage and on stage. So just have a long-term perspective and be consistent in showing up and it'll make a big difference for you.
A great tip. And again, it kind of reminds me of the actors. You know, we see them at the Golden Globes. We didn't see them when they were living in their car.
Totally. Absolutely. You know? Yeah. I mean, yep.
Same kind of thing. Well, this has just been great. I know how busy you are, and I'm so grateful that you took time out of your schedule to be here with us for my audience. Thank you.
It is an honor to hang out with you, Tracy. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again.
Cool.
All right. And thank you for being here. You know how much I appreciate you. And until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.